session number 18676, reel 13.
Was, and it had been, I think at one time it had been a mental hospital, and then it had been changed more or less to a geriatric hospital, and then finally it was used as a military hospital, and the nuns who ran the place were still there. But this was the building at Zulpik. This was a new wing that had just been built about a couple of years at Zulpik, and this is when it was being used as a military hospital. This was a view from my bedroom window at Zulpik. I was there about, I don't know. Maybe 3 to 4 weeks. Anyway, at the end of July, beginning of August, I got a signal to say that my father had died. So I put in for a compassionate leave. And I got it. I got 7 days compassionate leave. So I came back to England. It was August Bank Holiday Monday when I landed back in England, and strangely enough, that time I came back in leave, normal leave in I think it was November time, and both times I was stopped by customs, anything to declare, and they went through all your kit. So I was very chary of customs when it came for discharge, but that's another story. When I got back to Zulpik, I wasn't there many days before we moved to Bad Godesberg. Now this is a postcard commemorating Hitler and Chamberlain meeting on the 22nd, 23rd of September 1938. And this is one of the postcards that they published commemorating that meeting. Bad Godesberg is more or less a suburb of Bonn. And we took over the mansion of Baron von Schreider as a forward dressing station. And it was right next to the River Rhine. And the sergeants were billeted in a private house on the road that led to the Rhine. There was a ferry crossing at the bottom of this little road, and we had a house there as a sergeant's mess. And this is the view across the river from the landing. And I am sure, this village was called Königswinter, and it was just below the Drachenfels. This is a sergeant's mess with the CO of 8th Field Dressing Station. That's the CO, Major Paul. Now I'm afraid I can't remember very many names at all about these people at all. That's Bob Jones, who I've just mentioned. That man there was a Dutchman called Hans, I forget his name. But he was attached to us as an interpreter. That was the orderly route. No, wrong. I don't know where he was. That's myself. That there is Corey Fountain, Sergeant Fountain. He got the nickname Corey, apparently, because while they were in England, and they were in England right until the invasion, he always had a calendar with one of these glamorous women on it, advertising Corey tablets for headaches. That was the orderly room sergeant, I forget his name. Yeah, dear, isn't it disgusting how you forget. He was a staff sergeant, he was a senior member of the mess with no sergeant major, with no warrant officer. And I was made equivalent of a quartermaster sergeant. I ran all the quartermaster stores. Bob Jones went on to the wards. But oh dear, isn't it disgusting that you can't remember the names. This is my staff, quartermaster store staff, at 8th Field Dressing Station. I can't remember many names, but there's myself there. I think his name was Fletcher. That was Corporal Bates. He came from Birmingham. And this was Corporal Clark. He was a good man. He came from Manchester. And I'm afraid I can't remember the other names, but this chap here, he was the joiner. And it was him who made a model horse, children's horse on wheels, for me. He made it without asking for it. And when he gave me it, I said, well, I said, I haven't got any children, no, but he says, you will have. He says, and this'll come in for them. And it was a real nice thing, and it all knocked to pieces. It painted it and everything, and made a real good job of it. And I brought it home with me when I came on leave. And of course, when Carol was born, she played with it from being about a year old. This was my bedroom at Bad Godesberg. As I say, it was a private house that had been requisitioned, and I had one of the two top bedrooms. It was luxurious accommodation compared with what we'd been used to. This is a view out from my bedroom window at Bad Godesberg. It was very nice there. This was Christmas Day in the sergeant's mess at Bad Godesberg. This photograph was taken by flash, and I'd never seen a flash like this before, and I've never seen one them since. And I picked two of these things up in a photography shop in Bad Godesberg, and they were like a little satchel, a little square satchel, which you pinned to the wall and lit a fuse as though you were lighting a firework fuse. And it caused a flash because the satchel was filled with magnesium powder, but you couldn't tell to within a second or so when it was going to go off, so you were lucky if you got anything at all that was worthwhile. Anyway, I managed to get two, and this is one. There's Bob Jones next to me, next to Corey Fountain, and I'm next to Corey Fountain. This is the other photograph of the sergeant's mess, taken with this peculiar type of flash. It was very hit-and-miss affair with it. Anyway, again, this was Christmas 45. This is the castle on top of the Drachenfels. This was on the opposite side of the river to Bad Godesberg. And it's a famous landmark and a famous tourist attraction in Germany, are the Drachenfels. The legend of Siegfried is built around that area. And this is a pastel-coloured photograph that I bought in Bad Godesberg. And this shows the castle. This shows the Schloss. I think they call them a Schloss. Anyway, it was an inhabited castle about two-thirds of the way up the cliff to the Drachenfels, the castle at the top. We passed this on the way down. We went up the other side and then came down this side where this castle was. When I came back from the Middle East, in fact about 2 months before I left the Middle East, when I went into the Yugoslav compound to run that, I went on the water wagon. I became teetotal because I've been doing quite a bit of heavy drinking to drown my sorrows at native section. And I still kept it up all the time I was in the army till I was discharged. On New Year's Eve, this Major Paul, he threw a party for the whole unit, and he made these big bowls of punch up, schnapps and brandy and God knows what, and he called it Paul's Punch, and my God, did it get the lads going. It also got the sergeants going. And then when they came back to the mess, they had another session, and this went on till about 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was a peculiar sensation to sit there, cold stone sober, and gradually see these gradually getting drunker and drunker. Anyway, about 8:30 next morning, New Year's Day, they were beginning to roll out of bed. So I kidded him up. And about five of us, I kidded up. And I said we'd go up to the top at Drachenfels. And it was quite a frosty morning and had been a slight covering of snow. Anyway, we went across the river on the ferry. And we walked along the railway line till we came to the foot of the cliffs. And at that section, it was just a rough footpath up these cliffs. And we climbed to the top after a struggle. And this is a photograph that I took. At the bottom of the cliff. This was the first view of the castle we got as we were climbing up this footpath up the cliff face. Here we are, we're getting a bit nearer to the castle here. And by God, were the lads making heavy weather of it. I wasn't so bad, but by Jove. Talk about sweat it out of you, it wasn't in it. Here we are, nearly there. By Jove, we're the lad thankful. This is Sergeant Jack Turner when we made the top. He's written on the back, the morning after the night before, and by Jove, he looks it there. This is left to right, Sergeant Jack Turner and Sergeant Jim Fountain, Corey Fountain. They've signed it on the back. Thanks for making this clan, Bill. At least it cleared our heads. This was New Year's Day, 1946. This is Corey Fountain and myself at the top of the Drachenfels, New Year's Day, 1946. This is a view from the top of the Drachenfels looking away from the castle. This is us again at the top of the Drachenfels. Myself, Corey Fountain, and I just can't remember this other sergeant's name. I wish you could go to the shop and buy a new memory. This is a view of the Rhine through one of the windows of the ruined castles of the Drachenfels. New Year's Day, 1946. This is another view of the Rhine taken from the top of the Drachenfels. New Year's Day, 1946. Here we are on our way down from the Drachenfels castle. There was a road up this side of the mountain. It went as far as the Slush and this type of visitor's centre where we are here. And I've just remembered this sergeant's name, Sergeant Froggy Frost. Funny how these names come back to you. And the night that Major Paul gave that party, old Froggy was three parts to the wind, and at the staircase in the von Schreider's mansion, it was about 10-12 foot wide, and it had a right angle turn in it. Now, when I was coming down, there was this Sergeant Frost, and he had the ADMS, who was a full colonel. He had him cornered on this staircase with his, and Froggy Frost had him with his, he had his hands on the railing so he couldn't escape him, and he was spouting Shakespeare at him. I got it, I wonder he wasn't court-martialed. This is the three of them again. Corey Fountain on the left and Froggy Frost on the right, and the one in the middle, I just can't remember his name. Try as I will. There they are again, the three of them, right to left. Froggy Frost, Corey Fountain, and the unknown sergeant. The place where these last photographs were taken, the last three, was, as I say, at this type of visitor's centre. And there was this grotto made of artificial stone, and you could walk through it, and it was giving you more or less the legend of Siegfried killing the dragon. Unfortunately, it was too dark to take photographs inside there, and I had no flash. But this is where we came back out into the open. And just here, it's very hard to distinguish it, but that's the head of the stone dragon. This is me just after New Year in the grounds of von Schrader's mansion. Down there, I don't know whether you can distinguish it, but down there, that was part of the quartermaster's stores. This is Corporal Clark, outside the quartermaster's stores at Bad Godesberg. This is Private Fletcher out at quartermaster's stores. I'm sure his name was Fletcher. This is myself in the grounds of von Schrader's mansion. I think this would be taken round about November time, 1945. This is Bates of the quartermaster's store staff at Bad Godesberg. This would be taken, I think, late January 1946. This is Corporal Clark again at quartermaster's store staff, Bad Godesberg, Germany. We seem to have come to the end of the photographs, and getting to the last, when it came for demob, I was demobbed in Agent Service Group 26, and that was the biggest group in the army, and it took 4 months to demob them, and I was on the last lot to be demobbed. They had to be demobbed by the 6th of March. I left the unit on the 27th of February, and it took us till the 5th of March to get to Strensel, the demob centre. So it was game to the last, was that. 1 day to spare. And that's what I got from Monty. Fat lot of good it did me. I also received 5 medals, 5 bits of tin that had never been out of the packet that they came in. And I got this from Grieg, the Secretary of War, and that didn't do me a lot of good. And the other thing I got was rheumatism. After about 3 years out of the army, and developed osteoarthritis as a result of the rheumatism, and I've had it ever since. And here it is, 1993, and it's gradually getting worse all the time. So that's what I got out of the army. God bless them all. Before I finish with the army photographs, I must just say about the customs men. I'd obtained, I won't say how, but I'd obtained a beautiful pair of German field glasses. They were absolutely first class. And they were going to come home with me. Anyway, when your movement orders came to come, there was a big warning notice in them that anybody who was found with any German equipment in the kit or anything would be sent back to the unit for court-martial. And knowing my luck, I thought, oh no, it's not worth the risk. So I said to this Sergeant Jack Turner, "Here, Jack," I says, "you've always envied these field glasses." I says, "Here, you can have them as a going away present from me." So I gave them to him. And the other thing was, I'd got myself lined up for a Leica camera. Now, You could get these Leica cameras, they were very hard to get. It was all black market. And you couldn't buy them for cash, it was cigarettes. And the going rate for a 35mm Leica was 1,000 pags. Anyway, we had a German attached to us. He was a, how can you say, odd job man. He saw to the boilers, etc. And any jobs I wanted doing round the place, maintenance jobs, he used to do them. I used to write the requisition for stuff and he used to do the jobs. And I'd got this Leica lined up with him. Now, he brought the Leica for me to see and I tested it out and it was in full working order. And I had the 1,000 fags and I showed him them. And I was playing it game and safe to the last. I was leaving the unit on the 27th and so he was going to bring this camera on the 26th because it was in every day. He was going to bring the camera, I was going to give him the cigarettes and that was it. Because the Leica camera wasn't army equipment, it wasn't German army equipment. And what did the silly fool go and do? The day before I was due for demob, I was due to bring the camera and he stole half a pound of butter out at cookhouse. And of course he got caught. So that was my Leica up the spout. So, as I say, when I came home on compassionate leave, I got stopped by customs. When I came on ordinary leave, I got stopped by customs. And they were only stopping about 1 in 40, because they couldn't cope with them, you see. And oh, when I came home, I had a suitcase, a kit bag, and my full pack, and I thought, oh, this is it. I'm sure to be stopped. And what I'd done, I'd packed all the dutiable stuff in the suitcase so that I wouldn't have to raft through my kit bag and my big pack. At least that's what I thought I wouldn't have to do. Anyway, when we got off the ship, you went into this big customs shed and there was this oval counter about 40, 50 foot long. With a customs bloke on the chaps on the inside, and you walked in one door round this big oval table and out the other door, and they just called, you know, put you out as they thought, and there I am struggling around with me big pack, me kit bag and this suitcase, and they never even stopped me. I thought, well, that's just it. If I'd have had the binoculars with me, I'd have got through, or would I? Anyway, it wasn't worth the risk, and Jack Turner got a good pair of binoculars out at day. Jack Turner got a good pair of binoculars out at day. I don't know what it is. I just can't get it to focus sharply at all. Anyway, I'll try another slide. And again, I don't know whether I'm doing something wrong or not, but I just simply can't get it to focus properly. Anyway, at least we know the thing works, don't we now?